So please stand. Psalm 128. And read these with me. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk on obedience to Him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we are grateful for this, your word. We're so grateful, Lord, for families that are here today. We pray for your blessing upon them and for all of us, Lord, as we listen to your word. That we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So it's been said that some of the popular values of our day are kind of like the jokester that went to the store and switched the price tags around. So, you know, the refrigerator, when he got done, it was a dollar. And the tires, all four of them were $2. But you look at a set of pencils, they were $300. So you look at a candy bar, $1,000 for that Hershey's chocolate bar. They might have liked that over in Hershey, I don't know. Would have done all kinds of things in Hershey. But it's that way, you know, when we look at the confusion over the popular pursuits of our day. And so money and fame and power, those are the big deals. But other things that are less important seem to be getting shortchanged. And the people that have those things, the rich, the famous, the powerful, they're saying those things are overrated. We look in biblical history, we see that God's people have often been confused about what's most important. God's people have often switched the price tags around. And so sometimes God's people have valued their own comfort over living God's way. They put a high price tag on outward behavior, but bargain prices on inner attitudes. And Jesus criticized God's people for that. The result when those things have happened have always been disaster. The nation of Israel has lost her freedom. They lost her quality of life because she had the wrong values on the wrong things. And she was sent off to Egypt and to Babylon. Well, Israel would regularly have a time of checking, that where they needed to recheck the inventory, where they needed to rearrange the price tags and get things where they needed to be. And that's what happened, as several times a year they would travel to Jerusalem to worship. And they would sing these traveling songs, Psalms 120 to 134, that we call the Psalms or the Songs of Ascent. They would sing then as they walked to Jerusalem to worship as families and as communities. They sang these traveling songs which reminded them of what was truly valuable in life. You know, as adults, we often want our children or those that are near us, those that we care about, to do better than we did. But it's easy for us to confuse the price tags about what really brings success in life. Psalm 128 points us to what's important, what's truly important from God's viewpoint. And what it tells us is that fearing the Lord is what brings true success in life. In the big picture of life, it's revering the Lord, it's following the Lord that brings the blessings of God. We see that in the home, we see that in the kingdom as we look at these verses. Fearing the Lord brings, first of all, a blessing to our homes. And that begins with His blessing on our lives. When the Bible talks about fearing the Lord, it's not talking so much about being in terror about the Lord or being frightened by God. But it does talk about revering Him, about respecting Him. So you think of Rodney Dangerfield. He said, I don't get no respect. Well, the Lord said, when I look at my people that fear me, they give me respect, the respect that I deserve. The book of Proverbs says that fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's what brings us blessing and brings us victory in the big picture of life. It means that we live life God's way, that we worship Him with our lives, that we hate what He hates, that we love what He loves, that we are safe people with others, and that we live like Jesus lived, and that we are part of extending the rule of God and giving a preview of the world to come. And it begins with us as individuals having lives that fear the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. It extends to our work. Notice in verse 2 that he talks about that we would eat the fruit of our labor. And our labor is whatever God has called us to. It might be in the home, it might be at work, it might be at school, it might be in the neighborhood. But what he says is that God will give us, when we fear the Lord, that he will give us success in the big picture of life. So he says, you'll eat the fruit of your labor. Now these were a lot of farmers, like a lot of people around here. And so if they planted figs, they would, if they feared the Lord said, okay, generally speaking, you'll eat figs. And that because of your work. And we have other kinds of labor today. We get a paycheck. We have children that in the big picture, stay out of jail and live good lives. And when we invest in them and in those that we care about and in other kinds of callings that we have, vocations that God has given to us, we have a project at school or at work. We have things that we invest in, and the Lord says that our work, when we fear Him, generally speaking, He says, will be successful. Now remember, this is wisdom literature, and what it's doing is giving us general principles of life. You can say, well, there's an example, there's where this doesn't happen. No, generally speaking, what He's saying is that when we fear the Lord, when we live life God's way, that our work, whatever it is, our calling, will succeed. But it goes beyond the individual. Goes beyond our callings. It goes to our homes or to our families. A little while back, somebody surveyed people, an insurance company surveyed what people found to be their greatest source of pleasure. What do you think it was? It's family. Hands down, 63% of the people said that their family, immediate or extended, was their number one source of pleasure. Everything else was secondary. 10% or less, sorry church people, 8% said their religious involvement was what gave them the greatest pleasure. Can you believe that? 6% their work, that one really surprised me. 6% their friends, sorry friends. 2/3 of us say that our family is what gives us the greatest pleasure in life. And the psalmist says that living life God's way is what causes our families to flourish. As we follow Him. But He uses a couple of pictures that are unusual for us. How many of you have grapevines in your backyard? I don't think so. How many olive trees? Well, a few of you do. Yeah, a few of you. But they had grapevines all over the place, and they had olive trees all over the place. And he said, your wife will be like a flourishing grapevine. And we think, my goodness, that's not an analogy. Well, think what a grapevine was, though. So they had their grapes. Grapes were used for all kinds of things in that day, for raisins. They were used for grapes, for wine. They didn't have refrigerators, and so there was wine that they used for everything. Honey, they didn't have sugar cane that was really developed yet. And so the grapevines were a source of all kinds of nourishment. And when grapevines were flourishing, then their home was blessed. And he said, you know what? Your wife will be like that if you, men, if you husbands, will fear the Lord. And think about olive trees. We don't have olive trees. I don't think anybody's got an olive. I don't even think an olive tree will grow here. But olive trees are trees that take a long time to develop. They're not real good-looking trees, but they're hardy. And they're good for fuel. The oil is used for fuel, for medicine, for cooking. And they were long-lasting and useful for all kinds of things. And the psalmist says that's the way that your children will be if you'll fear the Lord. And those that you have influence over, they'll be hardy, they'll be strong, they'll be long-lasting in terms of the good that they bring to you and to your home. And so the Lord is saying here that when we fear the Lord, that we will have an influence on our homes, whatever that looks like, and on other generations, that will bring blessing to us and blessings to all of those around. The way to succeed, he says, is to live life God's way. So you think about it. You think of getting some IKEA furniture. And you got a choice when you get that really narrow box. It's amazing what they can fit in those boxes. And you can follow the instructions like those good Swedish engineers said to do. Or you can pull it out and who knows what you got if you've put it together yourself. You know, it's supposed to be a chair, you know, maybe it's a couch. I don't know how they fit those things in those. In little cars, they can do that. And you follow the directions, something useful is going to come out of it. If you don't, you got problems. And so maybe some of you did have problems, or you do have problems. And that's the way it is with life. If we follow the instructions of the one who made us, then things go well. Generally speaking, are there no problems? You know, there's problems. This is a broken world. But generally speaking, we'll realize the blessing of God. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is because we're following our Maker's instructions. He said, I made you, I created you, now here's the instruction book. If you follow the instructions, then generally speaking, things are going to go well. But then also we experience the presence of God in our lives, where he blesses our lives, as he promised to do. He said, if you don't follow me, then you'll be judged. Then you won't know life as well. You'll know disaster as my people did through the years. Psalm 1, which sets up all of the Psalms, talks, it gives a contrast between the life of one who fears the Lord and one who doesn't. And so the one who fears the Lord is like a tree, a strong tree planted by rivers of water. It's flourishing. It's giving shade to others. And others are enjoying its fruit. But he said the one that doesn't fear the Lord is like the chaff. Whoosh, the wind just blows away. Here today, gone tomorrow. Who cares? He, she is gone. That's what a life is like when we don't follow the Lord. How much better to follow the Lord and know his blessings on our homes. But the blessing of God when we follow the Lord, when we fear the Lord, goes beyond our homes, as we see in verses 5 and 6. When we fear the Lord, then we leave a legacy for the kingdom of God. You see, at the beginning of verse 5, it says that we are blessed to be a blessing. May the Lord bless you from Zion. Their prayer was that God would bless them from Zion, or another word for Jerusalem, the place where God displayed his presence. May God, who is on his throne, bless you, was their prayer. And our prayer is that God would bless us from heaven, where he displays his presence now, and even through his people, the living temple of God. And the motivation that we have is the same as God's people have had for centuries. Way back with Abraham, the Lord said that he would bless Abraham so that his glory would be known everywhere. And so in Psalm 67, the prayer was that they had, and the prayer that we have as well, is may God be gracious to us. May he make his face shine upon us, that his ways may be known upon the earth, his saving power among all the nations. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to bless the kingdom of God. They prayed, may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. That was the hope and prayer of every Jew. Our prayer is that the reign of Christ would be in all of the world. And so as we give in to the reign of Jesus in our individual lives, it extends to our callings, it extends to the world, to our homes, it extends to the entire world as Christ blesses, as our Lord blesses the world through us. And then it blesses future generations. And so the Lord uses us with our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, our kids in the neighborhood, and younger others that follow us at work or play or in our community. And the Lord uses us to imprint other generations. This week, yesterday, Maureen and I finished out a course that we were taking over in Pittsburgh. And believe it or not, I gave a class presentation. This was a group thing. I hadn't done this for a really long time. But three of us talked about people who have imprinted our lives, had left footprints, so to speak, in our lives. and they've influenced us to this day. And so one guy, young dad, was a ball player. He enrolled at a college, didn't want to go to the other college because they had chapel every day. The Lord put him on a ball team with a Christian ball player who kept talking to him about Jesus. And guess who's following Jesus now and sharing Jesus with others? He held up a baseball glove as he talked about his friend. Another gal grew up in a Jewish home, not even a practicing Jewish religious home. And she came to Jesus in college, and there was a woman that came along her side, along her a little bit older than her, and she took her to coffee over at Panera's. And she said, "Amanda, God has given you some qualities that God could use. You could lead other women." And that lady left an imprint in Amanda's life. That's exactly what Amanda is doing, leading others today. And then I talked about Alice, who loved gardening. Alice was a little old lady in our church in Maine. And Alice left a lot more than seeds when she went home to be with Jesus at 98. She filled that town cemetery with people from that town whom she had influenced. She influenced a young pastor because she loved Jesus. She had huge influence on me and on others as a woman who loved the Lord. And I said, that's who I want to be like by God's grace someday. Not the ones with all the stuff. That you know, sometimes the ones with the stuff are, love the Lord. Sometimes they don't. But there's a lady that had next to nothing but had Jesus to the full. And she had great influence in my life. So, I mean, what about you? I mean, could you be, did you play ball? Could you be of influence through baseball? Do you drink coffee? Maybe not coffee. Do you tea? Do you drink some water? You could have influence through a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, a cup of water. Are you a gardener? Or a little lady, little old lady, little old man, or someone somewhere in between that you can pray and have influence of others in God's kingdom? God can use you to leave a kingdom legacy that will be remembered perhaps for a whole lifetime and multiply throughout the area and throughout the world. God wants to leave lifelong imprints through our lives. He wants to bless future generations. He also wants to bless others with peace. You know, our world is a crazy place. It's always been crazy. It seems like it gets crazier up and down and all around. A lot of conflict. It seems like nobody can get along today. And their prayer in Psalm 128 was peace be upon Israel. And we can give witness, as Tim Keller said, by being a contrasting community of peace, by being a people that get along with others. Gladys Aylward was a small woman with a great God. She was refused by mission boards in this country, but she went to China anyway and showed up at a missionary's door and said, "Hey, guess I'm here." And they met for the first time. And Gladys Aylward, who'd been cleaning houses in the States, blessed China with her lives. With this other woman, they founded what they called the Inn of the Eighth Happiness, which was based on eight virtues of love and virtue and gentleness and tolerance and loyalty and truth and beauty and devotion. They gave hospitality to those who were traveling through. They shared Jesus with those who would listen. They were asked by the government in time. She was asked because of the great respect they had for her. They said, "We're trying to reduce this awful practice of foot binding that was crippling young Chinese women," and she went to work with the government. The government took her on to help reduce that practice. And then in time, she started an orphanage, and she adopted some of those kids as her own. And when Japan went to war against China, she led over 100 children across the border or over the mountains to a place of safety. She was legendary, remembered to this day, revered by the Chinese, revered by the people of God. They did a movie which was roughly based on her life. She said it was really roughly based on her life. But she showed what the peace of God could be like in a country that was not even her own. Tim Keller said that we are not spiritual consumers coming in to get our emotional needs met and then going home. You see, if life's about us, then we got the price tags in the wrong place. Life is richest when we live for others beyond ourselves, like Jesus did for us. A.W. Tozer said that rarely do we realize the influence that we have on others. We have great opportunity to know life's greatest success. Let's fear the Lord and allow Him to live through us. Let's make our lives purposes to respect and honor and love the Lord with our lives, and then to have circles of influence beyond what we know. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Our Lord, we love You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for others who've had influences on our lives. And Lord, we give ourselves over to You, even as these parents did a few minutes ago. We give ourselves over to You to know You, to love You, to honor You with our lives. And so to care and bring peace to a hurting world, that others may know You and Your glory as well. We pray in the name of Jesus.